This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Before the break, we discussed the contenders for this year's Song of the Summer. Well, there's one track you're bound to hear for about the next 4 weeks anyway. We Are One by Pitbull and J-Lo, the official song of the 2014 World Cup. Put your flags up in the sky. Put them in the sky. Check it out the world. Ain't no side to side. Show the world where you're from. Show them where you're from. Show the world. We Are One has its fair share of critics for reasons both political and aesthetic, but let's face it, there are worse options. Joining us now from Brazil to talk about the worst songs inspired by the 2014 World Cup is Ryan J. Bailey. He writes for Yahoo Sports soccer blog Dirty Tackle and speaks to us now from Brazil, where he's covering the World Cup. Hi, Ryan.
Hi there. Pleasure to be here.
So what's your take on We Are One? What do you think?
Well, in the vast pantheon of World Cup official songs, I don't think it's very good. You look back at, say, the 2010 song, the Shakira song, it was quite catchy. It was called Waka Waka, This Time for Africa, which right. sounds a bit Muppets-like to me, but it was a good, entertaining song. This Pitbull and J-Lo one's a bit bland, it's a bit cliched, and as you say, it's not been received very well in Brazil and around the Latin American countries.
Well, you did have a chance to see Pitbull perform the anthem live at the opening ceremony last Thursday. Was it any better in person?
No, the actual open ceremony, it was a very strange event. You know how the Olympic ceremony is this grand event where it celebrates the host country? There was none of that in this Brazil opening ceremony. And the main event was Pitbull, who was actually joined by J-Lo in the end. She got out of her contractual obligations and appeared. And it was just bizarre. The song, you know, a very muted response from where I watched it on the Copacabana in Rio.
All right. Well, so moving on to some World Cup songs our listeners have probably avoided up until now. Maybe that's a good thing. Let's start with Macaroni, one of two British songs on your list. What makes this one particularly loathsome?
I think you just have to listen to about 5 seconds of it and you realize it. It's a takeoff of the Macarena, of course, that song that took us all by storm in the 1990s. But with it's devoted to Wayne Rooney, the England striker. And the video for it, I don't know if you can get your listeners to check it out, but it's people dancing wearing paper masks, and it's quite cartoonish and nightmarish.
All right, we will make them check it out, but in the meantime, here's a listen. Come on, England, let's do the Macaroni. Doesn't even matter if you sing it out of tune. We are England, Team England, hey, Macaroni, hey! When I play you to the Macaroni, with my skills I send the fans loony. Move past you, run round you, I'm so good. Make a fool of ya. Come on, England, let's do the Macaroni. Doesn't even matter if you sing it out of tune. We are England. Okay, so probably not going to win a Grammy this year. Let's move on to another song from the list, also from England. This is Greatest Day by Gary Barlow and Friends. Today this could be the greatest day of our lives. Ryan, if you told me this song was on the Twilight soundtrack, I would believe you.
Well, this was actually a very popular song in England a few years ago by Gary Barlow's band Take That, but it's been reworked for the England team. That opening refrain there was sung by Gary Lineker, who's an absolute hero in England. He was a striker back in the 80s and 90s. But as you can see, he's not quite got a voice for to carry a tune. Now, this song is so bad, in fact, it was chosen as the official England song, but they got rid of it. They dumped it, and they even took it off of iTunes just before the World Cup.
Ouch, that's rough.
Yeah, it is.
So is that a trend? Is that a trend that we see, you know, former soccer players or soccer players joining in on the musical madness of the World Cup?
You do get that occasionally, yes. And in this particular instance, there's about 15 or so former England players singing along in the chorus later on in the song. Yeah, but from around the world, you do get some former players trying to test their vocals. Like, I think on my list also, I've got a song with featuring Diego Maradona. Diego Maradona is an Argentinian legend. There are churches devoted to this man in Argentina, such is his fame and his infamy on the soccer field. It was 1986 when he lifted the World Cup for his country, beating England along the way, I might add. And he has a strong backstory. he's had trouble with alcohol. He's had trouble with substances in the past. But he's never shown us his singing voice before. And he's done so on this song, which also features his daughter. The song's called Gritandole al Viento, which apparently means something like shouting into the wind. Now, I don't know, if I'm listening to a romantic World Cup song and it's called Shouting into the Wind, it doesn't quite evoke the right imagery for me.
Very poetic. Okay, here's an American song, actually, that made the list. A little surprising. With a tongue-in-cheek country ballad, strangely enough. This is Red, White, and Blue by Fusion. Because if there's any demographic in the U.S. that loves soccer, you know it's country music fans, right?
Yeah, it's quite the crossover, this, isn't it? It's very interesting. I should say at this point that there's a history of World Cup songs that they're always slightly terrible. There's always slightly, there's always something tongue-in-cheek about them. They're never going to be amazing pop songs that reach number one spot. They've always got this slightly cheesy edge to them. I really, really hope that this song is tongue-in-cheek because it's got some cringe-worthy lyrics in it. One of them that I enjoyed the most was, "The Germans thought that 2002 was just revenge for World War II." That's rhyming two with two there, by the way.
And of course, the video for this features, as you would expect, a blonde wearing cut-off jeans, dancing in front of an American flag, to lyrics such as the one that you just mentioned.
That's right. Yeah, it's got all the traits of a proper country song, and it also mentions a truck. I think it mentions a dog. I think there isn't a single country song that doesn't mention those two things.
Okay, the last song on your list, the Venga Boys song "To Brazil." They had a couple hits in the '90s, most notably "We Like to Party." I think everybody will remember that one. Now, I'm not really sure who they're rooting for in this World Cup.
The Venga Boys, well, they're Dutch, actually, but this song seems to be a general "Let's celebrate the World Cup" song, which is for the global appeal, I suppose. The boys in Rio got that boom, 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 boom. The girls in Rio be like zoom, 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 zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. Copacabana, Sao Paulo, Fortaleza. The beat don't stop in every villa and favela. And
speaking of videos, again, this one, one actually I couldn't watch in the office, not safe for work. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, yeah, I don't think many people can watch it in our office. There's a censored and uncensored version of this video. Suffice to say, it entirely consists of ladies who have misplaced the upper half of their clothing.
Now, is that a World Cup trend I just didn't know about?
Well, actually, I've spent yesterday on the Copacabana beach in Rio, and it's definitely a World Cup trend here, I should say. But it's not one I was aware of until I got to Rio. But I'll tell you something about this. The censored version of this video, which you can find on YouTube, has about 25,000 hits. The uncensored version has about 3 million hits. So you can probably tell why people like this song if they do.
So what is it about the World Cup specifically that inspires all these songs? You know, I know there's official tracks for the Olympics and some other big sporting events, but it doesn't seem to get taken to the same level that it does for the World Cup. What do you think it is?
It's quite an odd phenomenon, really, because even since 1966, when England hosted, that was when the first World Cup song came out, and it's just become a bit of a tradition, really. Some of them have become more anthemic than others. I think people who remember the 1990 World Cup in Italy, it was soundtracked by "Nessun Dorma," sung by Pavarotti, and it perfectly fitted the drama of the event and the emotion. And then in 1998, France had a song, "Allez le Coupe du Monde" or something like that. But it was a song that didn't have any vocals, but it's just whenever you hear it, you think of France 98. And it's just, I don't know what it is about it. It's something about the way the music culture and football culture fit together around the world.
All right, Ryan, before we let you go, predictions on who's going to take home the cup this year.
It's going to be very hard to see Brazil not take the World Cup. The home advantage in this competition is so important. And of course, Brazil have a really good squad at the moment. So if it's not them, it's going to be someone like Argentina, their South American rivals, or perhaps Spain, who are the current holders of the World Cup, of course.
Well, Ryan J. Bailey, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule in Brazil to share some truly awful songs with us here in the States.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Bailey writes for Yahoo Sports soccer blog Dirty Tackle. He's in Brazil for the next month covering the World Cup. If you'd like to hear those songs one more time or see some of the ridiculous videos that we mentioned, you'll find them all on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And coming up, when TV leads get pregnant. From Lucille Ball to Kerry Washington, the industry's weird tradition of covering up, or weirder yet, incorporating an actress's baby bump into the script. Stay tuned for that story when Word of Mouth continues.